send my Holy Spirit. From the Gospel of John that Michael read, we hear about Jesus' promise. And now on this Pentecost, as Luke records it, that promise is fulfilled in a powerful way. Today, as we celebrate Pentecost, we look for the signs that are promised in the prophecy of Joel. Signs of the presence of God in the Holy Spirit. There is the wind. A powerful wind. The disciples apparently were inside, and yet they felt the power of that wind blowing. If you were in the Middle East, the wind was a precursor of terrible sandstorms. When my wife and I lived in New Mexico, we used to have sandstorms so bad we couldn't see to drive to school. We know about wind here in East Texas. We have tornadoes. We have hurricanes. And how powerful are those? And fire. Some of us are wearing red. The choir has red stoles. We have red candles in the window to remind us of the power of fire. But we don't have to have a reminder of that. We live in a forest area where we know the power of a forest fire to take down thousands of acres of trees and grass and shrub and sometimes houses. Fire is a powerful event. The signs of the presence of God's Holy Spirit. Today I want to talk about two things that the Holy Spirit brings. Just two. The first one is power. In the Lucan testimony of the events of Pentecost, he tries to help us understand the inexplainable by using symbols of wind and fire. How can he explain what the power of God the Holy Spirit is? How can you explain it? So we have symbols of wind and fire and language. But the point is, the Holy Spirit of God brings power. It brought power to the disciples. When Pentecost was over, they went out into the world healing people of diseases. Was that their power? No. It was the power of God in them. They went into the world preaching. As a matter of fact, immediately after this event, Peter stood up and preached. Had he been to seminary? No. Had he passed presbytery's exams? No. Could he read and write? Probably not. But by the power of God's Holy Spirit, he became a wonderful, great preacher of this good news. And what was his message? Jesus Christ is risen, and through his Holy Spirit, he is among you, and he brings you power. He brings you power. Today, whatever we say about the Holy Spirit, we have to come to understand that that power is there for us as well. Now, we may not have the kind of manifestations that happened on the first Pentecost. Don't expect a wind to blow out the windows and clean out the church. are a fire to suddenly burn down all the trees outside, but expect the power of God to be yours, to be here, to be in the preaching, in the singing, in the playing, in your praying, in your listening, in your life today. Expect the power of God to be yours today and for the rest of your life. The power of God is not given for a demonstration of who God is, but it is given as the reality of what God does. I'm going to say that again because that sums up this point about the power. The power of God is not given for demonstration. God isn't just sending the wind and the fire to show what He can do. He gives the power for the reality of what God does. God moves people. He heals people. He comforts people. He inspires people. He moves women and men of faith to do acts of kindness to each other. And that's the power God gives you. Second sign, I said there were two. The second sign of the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, is witnessing. On the first Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit had come, the people were gathered in Jerusalem for the Feast of Weeks, the Jewish festival of the first fruits. They all heard the disciples witnessing to the glory of God in their own language. I used to give this passage to lay people to read, and they would nearly kill me, because who can pronounce all those names? You didn't have to do that, Michael. But the point that Luke is making is there were people there from every area of the Middle East, and they all spoke different languages, different dialects. We think of the Middle East as being either Jewish or Arab, and they speak either Hebrew or Arabic, but that's not true. They speak different dialects. And here these people were gathered, and they heard the message clearly in their own language. The witness of God was given to them in a language they understood. The power of the Holy Spirit's presence was manifest in the fact that they heard the good news. Jesus says, "The Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth." It will guide us into all truth. The Holy Spirit is present to witness to the truth of God for you and me. In the Scripture, in our Bible study, in our prayer times at home, in our worship here together or online, wherever we are in the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, God will bring the truth to us. He's witnessing to us. It is the power of the Holy Spirit deep within our hearts. Our Calvinistic heritage, there's a strong emphasis on the prevenient grace of God. That means God comes to us first. We don't come to God to discover God. God reveals Himself, opens Himself up or herself up to us. And the Holy Spirit is God's gift to keep opening that vial of truth to us so that we continue to grow in our faith, in our joy, and in our living the life of Jesus Christ. If you're one who feels like your faith is confused or your spiritual life is a little low, if you're unclear what the truth is, pray, asking the Holy Spirit to come and witness to you, to reveal to you the truth of God, and to lead us, you and me, to that truth. Pentecost is a great day. It is in the festivals of the church. It's equal with Christmas and Easter. Perhaps, in fact, we may claim Pentecost as a true Christian festival because it's not connected to any commercial thing. You don't have to go buy Pentecost gifts or cards or flowers or whatever. It's a Christian festival. And we celebrate Pentecost as the gift to us of God's Holy Spirit. And we claim the gifts He brings. Power. Power for you and me. And witnessing to the truth. Unveiling the truth. Opening the genie bottle so that the truth of God is revealed to us. Use the power. Claim the truth. Amen.